sharp knife. Are you suggesting this is a knife I have in my hand? Have you gone mad, my sane husband? There was a knife, but I lost.
Isn't it fascinating how the timing always lines up like a rigged game of dominoes? Just as the Epstein files start spilling out their filthy secrets, names, dates, and depraved dealings that could topple empires.
There are code words that suggest Jeffrey Epstein and his associates could maybe even be engaging in some sort of consumption. Is that human consumption?
The media machine cranks into overdrive with blatant distractions and a minimization press.
That bomb squad vehicle just pulled back in, but the two SWAT vehicles and the mobile command center are still out there somewhere. We were made aware of a location that they might be traveling to.
Election fraud gets criminally exposed in broad daylight, with whistleblowers and evidence piling up like unpaid bills.
Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up, not any big spikes. That's kind of what Greg's talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes, is that right?
Correct.
Smartmatic has its office in Caracas, and it's co-located with the Consejo National Electoral, the National Electoral Commission. And there's 150 Smartmatic engineers and 150 CNE engineers side by side. And they have two missions. Number one, steal elections. Number two, defeat audit. Study audit. How do different states and different localities
do
conduct
their
audit so that when they're audited, you defeat audit?
And suddenly the SAVE Act, that beacon of voter integrity, born of common sense, loses steam thanks to spineless politicians on both sides of the uniparty aisle playing footsie with the deep state.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought to the floor for a vote this week. What are your thoughts on that? Are you going to support the SAVE Act?
Not at all. It's a terrible idea. This notion that we want to put more obstacles in the paths of voters is just what Donald Trump wants, fewer people voting. I want every legal citizen in America to be able to vote without obstacles.
Do you think requiring an ID to vote in elections is making it harder?
It's more than that. It's more than an ID. It's proof that you were born in America. So what are we talking about, a passport or a birth certificate? Got one of those handy with you in your purse? I doubt it.
But no, we can't have the masses focusing on the actions of our overlords. Instead, it's wall-to-wall coverage of the Savannah Guthrie kidnapping saga on Fox News and every other propaganda puppet show with regurgitated monotony. But at least we at InfoWars can talk about the sheer volume of dirt they're burying under this avalanche of sensationalism.
Listen to me, because this isn't a reality TV show. This is entertainment. If this is handled wrong, we will have the Great Reset, and you'll be lucky if you're eating bugs. You'll probably be dead. And, of course, now it's come out. Lex Wexner, as I told you 15 years ago, was the CIA, Mossad, MI6, mega spy chief running Epstein for George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Barr, putting him on the Trilateral Commission when he's 30 years old, on the commission, not just a subcommission.
The Trilateral Commission is some spooky stuff. People said it was some of the people that, the Illuminati, there's some mystery about it, people that ran the world. It was politicians, but David said most countries, the politicians get elected for 4 years or 8 years, separate from the royal families in England or in the Middle East. Someone's there for 4 years and then they're not there anymore. The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three major continents. So it was the North Americans, the Europeans, and the Asians. So he said to me, would you like to be on the trilateral commission? Now, I was 30 years old.
That's because they have to have a guy trained and ready that's doing the job who will do exactly as they say.
Meanwhile, the propaganda outlets aren't just non-reporting. They are engineering consent, diverting eyes from the collapse.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-element formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. And it's been an insane week. This has been essentially nonstop killer information of the most extreme forms. Something that I think a lot of people are having a hard time dealing with this. Even myself, I've studied this for, 20 plus years. And going into this information all the way back to the early 2000s, I think even this is hard to process. Even minute by minute, we're seeing the most just ridiculous, demonic, unfathomable, unspeakable horrors straight out of Hellraiser, like Alex said. It's hard to process, but what I want to do is we will talk about some of these more recent leaks, recent emails, recent digs and finds that people have come up with. But I want to zoom out a little bit and give you kind of another big picture scope to understand exactly this, the layout, what this operation is, apparently what it was. And that's how the world was set up by these sort of Bond villains to be a catch-22 where you can never really get up in this system without being compromised. In fact, there was a very controversial book written many years ago called Cannibalism, Blood Drinking, and High Adept Satanism by a guy named Kurt Barker, who alleged that he was brought up in this kind of a scenario. And a lot of times the victims, and I'm not trying to knock the victims, but sometimes they have very difficult to corroborate stories. But in some cases, the stories do end up corroborated. Obviously, elements of Kathy O'Brien's story seem very well corroborated. Elements also then of Kurt Barker's story also. He wrote a book, as I said, that was really kind of out there. It seemed a little much for most people back in 2013 or 14. But what he described is the exact sort of model of what the whole Epstein network consulting organized crime operation appears to have been, including things that we wouldn't even fathom as part of today's polite society, or even the wicked. We wouldn't even think about them doing the types of things that ancient Babylonian religion did, right? Human sacrifice, partaking of the flesh of human beings, etc. It seems just not part of reality. It seems like something out of a story or something in the past, the distant ancient empires or something like that. But the thing is that sludge, that dark occult religion continued from the ancient world even up to today. In fact, even in the Old Testament, the Israelites were not immune to this. In fact, they fell into this very practice in many, many centuries. And according to the book of Deuteronomy, that's in many cases why they end up chastised and losing their nation state. For example, in the story of the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah records that this is because the Jews were falling into the temptation to sacrifice their children at the Valley of Hinnom, which was a place where they would burn their children in effigy. We know the Israelites fell into the worship of Baal Peor, which involved bizarre sex rites and menstrual fluids, bodily fluids, etc., all those kinds of things. And that didn't go away, right? Ezekiel, for example, talked about, he was given a vision where he said that he saw the high priest having a secret room sort of underneath, behind the wall in the temple, perhaps tunnels, and that they were engaging in weird occult practices and demonic practices. And this this religion that was secret had a cloaked cover of public normal worship of God that kept it kind of a Gnostic inner secret circle. That religion didn't go away. It sort of passed into today through secret societies and cults throughout the ancient world in the Middle Ages that were suppressed through Christian laws. In the Middle Ages, Christian laws tended to keep, I'm not saying that those were perfect societies, but they at least made a lot of these practices illegal, made them unnecessary, or made them basically liable to criminal penalties. And even to the point of death in some cases, if you're engaged in witchcraft and these kinds of things, and that's because they may not have been widespread, but they did exist. And so it was necessary to have even the state involved in suppressing these kinds of activities. If you study the medieval heresies, the kings of that time understood at least that heresy and weird cults and secret societies weren't just bizarre satanic practices. They also had the possibility of becoming a political revolutionary force. That's exactly what happened with communist and socialist movements like Joachim of Fiore. He was a proto-socialist, or Thomas Münzer of the Münzer Rebellion. He was a proto-socialist who influenced many Jacobins and French revolutionary socialists. So when we get up into the modern period, though, what nobody would seem to would think to connect is the idea of bankers, intelligence, and cults. Those domains just seem totally foreign. They seem like what would those three things have to do with one another? Well, if we get into the history of the Rothschilds as a family, in their biography, they brag within the first 50 pages that they were able to successfully game the stock market after the Waterloo event. And by doing that, they could buy up the stocks for pennies on the dollar when the market crashed based on advanced intelligence. So they understood hundreds of years ago that banking is essentially intelligence work. We don't think about it that way. We think of banking as boring dudes, you know, doing ledgers and graphs or something and usury and loans. And certainly that's all part of it. But the real scheme here that allowed certain banking families to rise to prominence, particularly when the original Rothschild sent out his sons throughout Europe to set up banking empires. It wasn't just to have a business. It was to set up an empire that also had private intelligence, that had private networks of spies and blackmail. Those things always go together. Usury, sodomy, blackmail, those things are always connected because they go together when it comes to ruling a society by debasing them, degrading them, and getting them to be controlled via their base passions. That's why those things always go together. And that includes the idea of democracy. Even ancient philosophers understood that democracy was a way to control the masses by very cunning oligarchs who could convince the population that lowest common denominator, appealing to the basest desires of the most, and thus debasing the society more and more, allowed the oligarchical elite to have more and more control. And that's not just Jewish. It's also in the domain of Plato. Plato talks about this. That's his critique of democracy. But the same idea passes into other secret societies and networks that have a revolutionary ethos. And of course, this is part of Talmudic religion. Talmudic religion does believe in an in-group, out-group situation where there's a preference for the in-group and a desire to have a separate morality for the out-group versus the in-group. So you can engage in trickery, deception, lying, etc., to those in the out-group, and you prefer and give the benefits to those on the in-group. Many groups do this, so it's a common pattern. I'm not saying that's only the Talmudic approach, but it is a Talmudic approach. That's very obviously there. We have many rabbis now clipped all over everywhere admitting all this. They say this openly. So it shouldn't be a surprise that we find in the domain of intelligence and banking in that history of Europe, the Rothschilds come to prominence. They become the most powerful banking dynasty, particularly in the 1800s, around 1700s, 1800s, even to the point in 1830s where they're giving loans to the papacy. They become the official papal bankers in 1832. And after that, they subsequently loan many, many sizable portions to the papacy, probably to get it entwined into a kind of a debt relationship. And that's not an accident given the transgressions and the deviations that we've seen the Roman Catholic Church via its papacy do.
not just at Vatican II, but even before that, being on the hook for many of these Vatican, Rothschild loans. This also explains, as we said, why when we get up to Jeffrey Epstein, fast forward a couple hundred years, Epstein's doing the exact same thing that the Rothschilds did when they gamed the stock market for Waterloo. Epstein is saying, I work for the Rothschilds. I'm an attaché, a representative, a legate of the Rothschilds. He has deals with the Rothschilds. He says, I represent them, and I'm going to invite you in, Peter Thiel. I'm going to invite you in, whoever else in Silicon Valley. We want to bring these people in. We want them in the web, in the network. That's all explicit now. And it's not just getting tech heads and tech elites. It's also reaching out and getting celebrities, getting politicians, heads of state, getting academics, scientists. I think one of the things that surprised a lot of people was the close connection that Jeffrey Epstein had as this sort of weird seeming occultist, perhaps influenced by Kabbalah figure. But he's also hanging out with all of the top atheists. So the new atheist movement, the four horsemen of the atheist apocalypse of the early 2000s, people like Dawkins, Dennett, Krauss, and others, have a very close relationship to Jeffrey Epstein. We don't know that they necessarily did anything per se, but again, the point here is that it's culture creation. Jeffrey Epstein is directly involved in culture creation. I wrote three books starting 10 years ago about this very topic, and the very first chapter deals with the movie Eyes Wide Shut and the close relationship that it bears to reality in terms of masked balls. I'm not talking about testicles, but the masked ball that you find in Rothschild mansions. And now with the surrealist art that you see in the Rothschild masked balls from the 1960s and 70s, these very famous pictures, we're beginning to see that this notion of cannibalizing and degrading and debasing people, compromising these people, this has been in the films, it's been in movies for decades. Our eyes were wide shut to actually understand what the movies were about and what we were being told. And lo and behold, now it's all out there. Every single element of this that was, you know, a really controversial topic to discuss, child trafficking, ritual abuse, absolutely unspeakable things with toddlers. I mean, it's all there and it's all real. So we've got to come to grips with that. We got to understand that. But I really want to impress upon everyone that it's not new. This is something that's been going on for a long time. A lot of that stuff in the prior to modern technology and the information age, it was more suppressed, lesser known. But it's all, again, an ancient practice. It's all very real. And if we think about, say, again, the Rothschild banking system, this was a network set up all throughout Europe. But also in the U.S., people don't understand that they think that the Rothschilds were really in Europe, and then, you know, the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan, et cetera, Vanderbilts, and those families were prominent in the U.S. And that's certainly true. But a lot of research has been done by historians to make the case that J.P. Morgan was actually a Rothschild front. And that's not far-fetched, given the fact that official biographers of Cecil Rhodes make the point that the De Beers operation and Cecil Rhodes going down to Africa to set up the diamond operations, that was literally all by Rothschild money. So even Cecil Rhodes was a Rothschild front. I think he got two million or so pounds back in the 1800s from the Rothschilds. The Suez Canal was a Rothschild operation. Benjamin Disraeli was a Rothschild front, according to his own and Quigley's estimation. So we're noticing a pattern here of, you know, you had Lord Jacob Rothschild there with Marina Abramovich standing in front of Lucifer. You've got the surrealist art going on here with these characters. There is always a sort of a preference, too, by the way, for weird surrealist satanic art, postmodern art. And you see that also in characters like Man Ray. And you'll notice it, I was on my YouTube channel, we did a live stream going through the reconstruction of Epstein's New York mansion. And looking at all the artwork, and of course, we can't read a whole lot necessarily into artwork per se, but definitely you can find people's interests and proclivities to some degree through the artwork. And when we look at the artwork, what we find is a lot of satanic imagery, a lot of occult imagery, a lot of human sacrifice imagery. In fact, Epstein was involved in procuring a painting that was the sacrificing of infants. And a lot of the artwork that Epstein has in his mansion includes things that are surrealist, including severed women's torsos. And why do I say Why do I make a connection there with the art and the symbology there? Well, Man Ray was the surrealist artist that was very popular back in the 30s and 40s, who was believed to be associated with the circles of the Black Dahlia case. And that was Elizabeth Short, the first ritual murder case that was known in Hollywood, where they found her dismembered body laying on the side of the road. And she was, the body was sort of, the torso and things were posed in sort of artistic style poses. And the reason that's relevant here is that there were very similar styles of surrealist torso severed art that Epstein had throughout his mansion, including a lot of what appeared to be sort of underage looking things, very just bizarre, surrealist and satanic looking artwork everywhere in the estate. Not surprising. We saw the same thing with the Podestas and the just bizarre, gross stuff that they were into, including a body reported in the Washington Post that was appeared to be bent back in the abnormal pose that Jeffrey Dahmer supposedly put some of his bodies into. Total Hannibal Lecter stuff, by the way. And if you've never seen the show Hannibal, I'm not necessarily recommending it, but it just happened to be that my wife and I were watching the three seasons of Hannibal, and it's a very gruesome show. I don't know if I can necessarily tell you to go watch it because it's hard to watch at points, but as we're watching Hannibal, I'm like, this is the Epstein stuff. This is fiction, but this is reality. It's like literally the same stuff. And weird thing with Hannibal, in the show, he's actually a sort of mind control handler. He's mind controlling different traumatized individuals as a psychiatrist and manipulating them into be also becoming serial killers and sort of being his mind controlled slaves to do everything you could think of. So again, fiction a long time ago, I think that show came out in 2014 with Mads Mikkelsen and Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, fiction is telling us in many cases what's really going on, just like Eyes Wide Shut, just like The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp. And speaking of The Ninth Gate, fascinating to see that Roman Polanski's lawyers were going to meet with Epstein. So Epstein was trying to get some of the same networks that, again, tie into wild PDF cases. And if you don't know, Roman Polanski is the famous director that had to flee to France because of the situation with an underage girl back at the time of the Manson murders. Keep in mind, too, I think InfoWars put up my little mini documentary video that I did on the movie Eye of the Devil, one of the few movies that Sharon Tate was actually in. Again, a really wild situation of perhaps coincidence, but also perhaps intentional occult murder. Sharon Tate, who died in the Manson murders, you know, was pregnant with Polanski's child. She played multiple roles as a witch. She was in a film with Alex Sanders, the famous witch, consulting on it. And that's where she was inducted into witchcraft. I put that in my third book. And then she went on to do a film called Eye of the Devil, where Donald Pleasance plays a satanic priest who has a cover or a front for a large, famous village run by a French prominent family, aka it seems like the Rothschilds here. And he's a Catholic priest who pretends to be a Catholic, but the village and the family are Satanists. They practice human sacrifice. And the craziest part, again, is that in the film, Sharon Tate becomes a willing human sacrifice. And this is not too long before she actually, presumably, seemingly is sacrificed. Yeah, you're showing the film. I think that's a clip from Leonardo DiCaprio in Tarantino's last film about the Manson murders. And again, interesting tie-in because that film also kind of gives an alternate version or a questioning, perhaps, version of what happened in the Manson murders. And again, we know that there were satanic connections to the Manson murders because of Squeaky Fromm, I think, and others were involved in the networks that Anton LaVey had set up. But I think with Manson, you definitely have some kind of mind control CIA operation going on there, tying into organized crime. A lot of people believe that there were also compromise tapes that a lot of celebrities were involved in that perhaps were the basis in part for the murders that Manson engineered. But to go back to Epstein, again, we have Epstein in the domain of Hollywood, Epstein in the domain of culture. We saw fascinating insights that Epstein wanted to be involved even in video games. He wanted to look into things like Call of Duty and how to get I don't exactly understand it because I didn't play Call of Duty. I played a little bit, but basically getting people to engage in microtransactions within Call of Duty so that you get addicted to spending money and not saving money. Right? So just really wild ideas of gamification and tokenization of everything. Perhaps the casino gulag, like Max Kaiser has talked about for so long, that's something that Epstein seemed to be interested in. Thus also his interest in crypto and trying to put money into a lot of different early crypto ventures, experimenting with, but he would spread his money kind of everywhere. He would put money into transhumanist things, cloning, genetic engineering. And of course we had the top email come out today that everybody's talking about, which is one of the nobility of Europe saying to Epstein, look, we're going to be very close to having genetically engineered children. We won't even need wombs anymore. So here's Epstein fully involved in the transhumanist movement, fully involved in what Aldous Huxley wrote about 100 years ago in Brave New World, saying that we won't need wombs anymore because we'll have basically test tube babies. This was a plan, something that they engineered. And he's fully on board with the Fabian socialist technocratic agenda, as I've been saying, and that's not antithetical to the Zionist or rabbinic agenda either. Those things can absolutely go together because it's the same attitude. The earliest founders of the Zionist state were all socialists. You have people like Moses Hess, the father of utopian socialism. Chaim Weizmann, Theodor Herzl, these are, non-believing or quasi-atheist, pantheist socialists. And they believe that the nation state of Israel would be the future salvation of the world once Israel became the dominant power in the world. And to get to that stage, again, I think we've seen that they have no qualms, no morals, no compunction to get to that. It's absolutely just unspeakable stuff that we're talking about here. And if you doubt that, well, think about, say, organized crime, because really the best way to understand the Epstein operation is to have a good understanding of the mafia and organized crime. One of the first fourth hour talks that we did here on the Al Sharpton Show 6 years ago was on the history of organized crime in America and how that's the pattern for understanding the Illuminati or Jewish crime, Jewish networks, any of these, David Rockefeller as well. It's not just a Jewish, it's all of these entities in criminal syndicates tend to work together. To understand that, it helps to understand organized crime. And we think about it as the Sicilian mafia, but people don't know. And I've interviewed some of the top living mafia people out there, like Sammy Bull Gravano. People don't know that the Sicilian mafia was organized by the Jewish mafia. Did you know that Lucky Luciano went and consulted with Meyer Lansky about how to network the Sicilian mafia in the United States, how to set it up and structure it? He got a lot of that idea and information and bookkeeping from, you got it, Meyer Lansky, the famous Jewish gangster. And I found an interview that was on YouTube. It's pretty amusing. It's only about 5 minutes. You can go watch it. It's an interview when Meyer Lansky, he fled to Israel, shocker. And he was in Israel and he said that the world press was oppressing him and attacking him and it was all unfair. And the journalist was asking him, are you an organized crime figure? And he says, I don't know nothing about organized crime. What's this? What's the mafia? I don't even know what that is. Never heard of it. Funny because the J. Edgar Hoover in the famous congressional hearings said the exact same thing. They said, is there a Cosa Nostra? I have not, nor have I ever known, nor heard of, nor is there any such thing as Cosa Nostra. What is that? What is this? We don't know. So the government lied, the mafia lied, they all lied. And are we surprised that the government is still lying and covering up these things, a.k.a. the absurdity of Pam Bondi saying, look at the Dow. Who cares about gigantic satanic networks of criminals raping children? We have high stocks.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our Methylene Blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you're...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good. It's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is the fourth hour. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of JaysAnalysis.com. I want to remind you, if you want a deeper dive, I've done every single day almost this week, multiple hour live streams on every one of these really insane next level email dumps. So we've got about 20 plus hours this week or more. Maybe 30 hours now of live stream material on the channel, going through one by one each day as new information came out. So as we were discussing, we were getting into transhumanism, we're getting into cloning, the Zorro Ranch, which really seems to have been covered up. The Zorro Ranch stuff is pretty wild. If you think about it, you wouldn't want to assume that a organized crime figure would be into transhumanism. It doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Sammy the Bull Gravano, for example, longtime organized crime figure. He's not really into cloning and becoming HAL 9000. But when we look at the character of Jeffrey Epstein, the reason for this is what Alex keeps playing, what I honed in on right away. We did a live stream of the entire Bannon interview. We went piece by piece, picking out all the relevant details with Bannon and Epstein in that older interview. And the most important part was at the beginning when he said, I was 30 and I was brought into the Trilateral Commission. That's a high-level steering committee that was created originally by Kissinger under Rockefeller for Zbigniew Brzezinski. So they recruited Brzezinski. And the reason for that was because Kissinger said, I read his Between Two Ages about the technocratic era that's coming. And I want to set up a special steering committee from the CFR members for this guy. And that's the origin in the 1970s of the Trilateral Commission. So something akin to Bilderberg, something akin to the CFR, another one of these high level, you know, non-governmental, but somehow also governmental steering committees like Bilderberg, right? That is involved in world policy. And it's not accidental that he says, the reason I was recruited into that is because I understood fractional reserve banking. That is the ability to loan out more money than you have in the reserves. Within the first few hundred pages of Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley says that for hundreds of years, this Rothschild banking system and network used this trick to take over Europe, to take over the Western world. They would lend out more than they had in reserve through the gold note system, and then they would charge usury and interest on those loans and then buy up real assets and gold for centuries, back when there was a gold standard. That system is a giant layered onion layer of scams, scams within scams, right? And Epstein seemed to be very proficient at that. If anything, he was a high level, I would say a PhD in criminal operations consultant. That seems to be his real skill set. He wasn't at the top of the pyramid, but he was pretty high up. He seemed to have people in some emails perhaps telling him what to do. But in other emails, it's kind of like, you're kind of surprised, like, at things that they don't know. For example, the Ehud Barak conversation that Mike Benz and many people covered, that whole audio exchange was fascinating, because here you have a high-level organized crime figure explaining to Ehud Barak, prime minister of Israel, former prime minister of Israel and intelligence operative, explaining what Silicon Valley is all about, who Peter Thiel is, and what Palantir is. It's a fascinating conversation where they're trying to understand and spell the word. So they had a hard time with Palantir. But at the same time, I mean, no regard for grammar. You know, is the worst grammar you've ever seen in all these emails. I've spent a whole 10 days or 11 days now in these emails. It's like sometimes the grammar is so bad you don't even know what they're talking about. It's like, is this code or is this just crappy spelling? But you know, thousands of emails about really suspicious, hundreds, I should say, perhaps hundreds of emails about really suspicious terminology, code words. We've covered all that this week, so I won't rehearse all that. But again, to go back to banking and transhumanism, this is the really key component that Epstein seemed to have had an understanding of fractional reserve banking that he could explain to people at a very high level. And that was one of the reasons why he was put into the Trilateral Commission. But you don't get there unless you've already had some degree of OSS CIA recruiting. And that's what we have with the Dalton School, Bill Barr, and that early spotting. And that's also connected directly, I think, to the Maxwell Ghislaine operation and the Rothschilds. Again, we know that Maxwell himself was actually another Rothschild representative. He was taught by Rothschild, represented their empire in the art of corporate takeovers. That's a thing that Maxwell specialized in. And so when Epstein was at Bear Stearns, there's a insider trading scandal. Epstein doesn't get in trouble, but his partner does. This seems to lead to the recruitment and advancement of Jeffrey Epstein into these other higher steering, higher level committees. This vindicates everything that people like us in the conspiracy world, Alex and others, it's not even conspiracy. It's just real geopolitics. It's real on the world or on the ground, real world operations and networks. That's how they work. They work like a mafia. You have to understand organized crime to understand that these people are no different than the Sicilian mafia. They're just at a higher level. So things like the Bilderberg Group or things like the Trilateral Commission, they operate like organized crime syndicates. Exactly. The structure, the methods, the techniques, the dork orts that they use, whether it's blackmail, compromise, assassinations. It's the same stuff. It's literally just like Spectre. If you think about the James Bond film recently with Daniel Craig, I think it was about 2015, the one called Spectre, where Bond is facing off against Blofeld, and it's Christoph Waltz that plays Blofeld in that episode. If you recall, there's this excellent scene where he infiltrates a Bilderberg-style meeting, and you get the impression this really is kind of Bilderberg. And you have all these organized crime figures sitting around a giant table in Rome. It looks like the Club of Rome type of meeting. And, you know, Blofeld is sitting there all darked out. You can't really see him. And they're listing off their crime stats like business. They're like, "So we've had an upwards tick 40% in human trafficking this year." And somebody else said, "We've had 4,000, you know, money laundering cases that have benefited us by $14 billion. So it's like they're listing off crime stats like a business meeting, but it's organized crime. And that's what organized crime is a business, right? That is a business. This is a international high-tier business. And if you understand it that way, that's what Epstein is. He's a high-level consultant, multiple links to intelligence, believed he was thus untouchable because he was in that untouchable intelligence protected role. I think that's why he didn't worry too much about how he spoke in the emails. For some of the most extreme stuff, it does seem like they're obviously using code, right? Jerky, the grape soda, pizza, whatever. Other code words are being used. But in some cases, they seem to be so brazen, they don't even use the code. You know, in the case of the really horrendous situation with the girl that was calling out to Jesus that they were joking about torturing and wanting to dress up like Jesus to further traumatize her. The sulfuric acid being ordered in large quantities, presumably to also get rid of bodies. Multiple email references to and messages referencing tunnels at most of the properties. So not just the island, but other properties also. He seemed to be wanting to have networks. What does that remind you of? Well, remember when Ted Gunderson was investigating the McMartin preschool case, everybody made fun of people in the conspiracy world and Gunderson himself for talking about tunnels. Well, lo and behold, when the FBI declassified the McMartin case, they had documents admitting, yes, we did find tunnels. And yet the media covered that up and made fun of anybody talking about this stuff, just like Stephen Colbert covered a lot of these things up, made fun of anybody talking about international pedophile rings, international cult rings. That's all been mocked by all of these mainstream people to cover up for these people because they're all tied into and work for these people. Now, I don't know necessarily if every single person like a Colbert or whoever, I don't have any information that they did anything per se, but they don't have to because they're paid shills and propagandists to cover up for this establishment network that is destroying the West. And they do that by design. That's the key point here. This network, this window shows us the thing that legitimate researchers, legitimate conspiracy theorists who are really just espionage theorists, geopolitical analysts, what we've been talking about for so many decades now, multiple decades, in the case of myself, Alex and others, Alex obviously more than me, longer than me, but I learned all this from Alex and he was right. The stuff he was saying over all these years was 100% spot on. So Alex has been vindicated. I've been vindicated. But unfortunately, we're vindicated about something that's horrendous. So it's a bittersweet situation. But how do we fix this? What do we do about it? We got to understand what this is. We still don't have enough people understanding this. A lot of boomers, for example, are out there saying, it's time for the country to move on. Just repeating what the talking points have told them to repeat. Fox News is not even aware of this. The only thing that matters is a woman being supposedly kidnapped. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I don't know. I haven't even followed it because what does that compare to this? This is the biggest story of our lifetime. And amazingly, the algorithms have basically created multiple realities for different people. So if you're a boomer, this isn't even a reality to you. The algorithm is giving you a totally different reality that some other boomer was kidnapped or something. And there's a letter, you know, ransom note. I don't even know, but like, what does that compare? And that's terrible if that happened to that woman, but how does that compare to the entire Western world being subverted by a criminal cult network? I mean, it doesn't compare because this is why we have the wars. This is why we have the false flags. Ghislaine Maxwell being invited to a shadow 9/11 commission? What the hell is even that? To quote the meme, what is it? We don't even know what that is. What is that? A shadow 9/11 commission? Epstein is in Ukraine a month before Zelensky, and then Zelensky is asking in text messages for Zelensky for Epstein's consultation on how to run stuff and overthrow Putin. I mean, this guy's involved in everything. There's emails where he's over here talking to Peter Thiel about overthrowing Middle Eastern countries, and this is how you profit from it. Rothschild's emailing him saying, we're going to buy up Ukraine. We're going to profit from it. The Greek debt crisis, the bailouts. How do we profit from that? How do we buy it up? Greek fire sale, like Max Kaiser talked about. It's all been vindicated. From all the way back to the original insider trading problems and scandals that he was connected to at Bear Stearns, that his buddy went to prison for. 2008 housing collapse. He tells Bannon that he's in the prison making phone calls to the executives. I mean, if you've watched Goodfellas, if you remember, Polly is in jail cooking meatballs and he's running the family operation. Epstein's like in his jumpsuit doing his daily phone call to the Lehman Brothers, CEO or whatever. It's like, this is crazy. This is how the world really works. Yes, it is. So without understanding that it's not the politicians typically that run the show, it's the steering committee members, the shadow government. This is the shadow government that we're talking about. It's a breakaway national security apparatus that's a lot of corporate private individuals and bankers, not James Bonds out there assassinating people. That's a lower level thing. The real power structure is bankers, corporate people, and modern intelligence agencies come out of banking. Now, if you go back to like early World War I or prior to that, there were banking intelligence operatives in terms of Rothschild. But when we think about intelligence, that was thought of as a military thing, right? It's the military that does intelligence. The difference here is that this is privatized, private intelligence, and that's much more cunning and much more effective for what we're talking about in terms of subverting and taking over in a shadow government than it is to have a public military intelligence kind of thing, right? A wartime military operation. This is a perpetual private banking created intelligence operation. And that's exactly what the intelligence agencies come out of. They come out of bankers and Wall Street. This is a book written by a Council on Foreign Relations member that we're working through on my channel called The Old Boys. And it's writing about and talking about these older networks, just like the Rothschild networks, where you have bankers setting up intelligence agencies. In the case of the OSS, Rockefeller had a huge influence on that. And British intelligence came and set it up. Eventually, there's an alliance between the Zionists and the WASPs. It's called the WASP-Zionist Alliance. So when Quigley was writing, AIPAC, for example, didn't have as much influence as it has now. So it's not that he was ignoring that domain or that element of the power structure. They had not achieved that much power in the 1960s when he wrote Tragedy and Hope. But there is the implication that steering committees, NGOs, think tanks, foundations, and intelligence agencies, they all have a much greater role in running the country and setting policy, especially at the tip top is the Federal Reserve and the private banks there and the Bank for National Settlements, which is the international private bank of private banks. Those have a lot more power and influence than the government and the public officials. Now, it's not that the public officials and the civil servant people don't have any influence. Rather, they have a much lesser influence and impact than the people on those steering committees, the people that have the ability to assassinate, to blackmail, to compromise. And this is not anything new. If we think about Epstein, it bears the exact same structure and pattern to so many similar cult, sex, op, blackmail operations that we have seen over the years. In fact, I think I tried to list many of these, and I forgot some of them because there's so many. But we have Jimmy Savile, the elite UK procurer, the disgraced BBC radio shock jock guy very close to the royals, given a papal knighthood, very close to John Paul II, as apparently Jeffrey Epstein was in several emails. By the way, people are trying to debunk this and decry this. Gordon Thomas's book, Gideon Spies on the Mossad, that came out in 1999, a lot of the claims and information that this mainline historical journalist researcher did in 1999, many of those claims have now been vindicated. Nobody else is talking about Gordon Thomas's book. It's been vindicated now via these Epstein revelations. He wrote that Mossad history in 1999, talked about Mossad having a relationship and a role with Princess Diana. Well, lo and behold, turns out Epstein himself hung out with and met Princess Diana. There's speculation in some articles that he might have even been tried to pair up with Princess Di. We don't know. But we do know that he had a specifically secret, hidden, framed article about Princess Di and the divorce. So presumably he believes he had some role in that. And there were articles coming out at the time that he might have had a relationship or wanted to have a relationship with her. So we have Saville. We have the Franklin cover-up, right? The Franklin cover-up implicated a lot of high-level GOP lobbyists, people like Craig Spence. They had a estate wired in D.C. where young call boys, right, were being filmed with political people to blackmail them. And the Franklin cover also connected to Larry King in Nebraska and high-level satanic ritual abuse on record. So you can check out Nick Bryant's book on the Franklin cover-up. I've interviewed him as well. The Finders case, again, human trafficking, weird cults, sexual abuse, and presumably selling children on an international market. And that involved the CIA or members of the CIA covering up and protecting the Finders case. We have Elm Guesthouse situation where in the UK, British intelligence has a guesthouse, a.k.a. House of Ill Repute, for flu season of the evening to implicate, and not just flu season, also male prostitutes to implicate and honey trap high-level British politicians, many of whom have, of course, been exposed over the years as famous PDFs and even worse. Cyril Smith, Lord Mountbatten, a lot of those characters were into the worst imaginable stuff that you could think of. And Elm Guesthouse was part of this scandal because people were being compromised there. And who was there behind that? Well, it appears British intelligence had wired this guest house to entrap high-level people. We have the King Cora scandal in Ireland, another situation where you have ritual sexual abuse. We have the Nexium cult with the Bronfmans being involved on record. The court case shows that with funding this Hollywood-connected sex cult through Keith Raniere. And that included a lot of famous people, a lot of even, I think, one of the heads of state in Mexico was directly involved in the Nexium situation with Keith Raniere and his cult. We have the many, many, many Vatican ritual abuse cases. And I don't think it's accidental that not only does Epstein have a time where he went to the Vatican with Ghislaine and according to several emails, got architectural oddities from John Paul II that he put in his house, as well as planning trips for Pope Francis. So there seems to be a definite connection there, which again, lines up with what Gordon Thomas says in his book about Gideon spies, that all the way back in the 1970s and 80s, Mossad was very interested in establishing some kind of bugging relationship to bug the Vatican. No surprise there. But also setting up a relationship with John Paul II. And they appear to have been somewhat successful with that because it's under John Paul II that the Vatican eventually recognizes the nation state of Israel. So you can look at Gordon Thomas's information on that, because it was the Mossad that really organized that and helped get that going. So why would it be surprising that Jeffrey Epstein, thus having a CIA, British intelligence, and Mossad role, why would it be surprising that it is a close relationship to John Paul II? I mean, he's on the Trilateral Commission Steering Committee when he's 30. Of course, he's going to have connections to high-level prelates. And when he describes the inner workings of the Vatican Bank, well, that's another indicator that he understands the inner workings of the Vatican. He even says Benedict XVI stepping down. This is Epstein explaining this to another banking economics guy, Larry Summers. You would think Larry Summers would know this, but Epstein is the one explaining to Larry Summers how the Vatican Bank works. Why does Epstein know the inner workings of the Vatican Bank? Well, it's because obviously because he's an intelligence agent type person, fixer, consultant, but also because he understands organized crime. This proves Gladio. So Epstein has the same attitude that I've explained about the Vatican Bank and Operation Gladio as one example of an entire country being compromised, according to Paul Williams' book on it, who's an FBI consultant, through Kissinger. Kissinger set up the structure of Gladio to compromise basically all of the prelates and the politicians to basically run Italy. And they did that to ensure that Italy would not go socialist or communist during the Cold War. Now, I'm not pro-socialist or communist, but the way that, according to Paul Williams and the Gladio revelations in the 1990s, 80s and 90s, the way that Italy was compromised was through bunga bunga parties, orgies. And if it's Vatican prelates going to orgies, I doubt that it's women. I think we all know what that would have involved. And again, who's running that? Licio Gelli, Michael Sindona, right? Licio Gelli being the highest Grand Orient Lodge Mason, the P2 Lodge. This is all public on record, brother. This isn't even conspiracy. This is public. And Michael Sindona, who was the mafia syndicate guy. So you have a Mason, a mafia guy. And according to Paul Williams' research, Kissinger is the one calling those shots. So Kissinger would tell Sindona and Licio Gelli what to do. They would then tell the prelates and the Italian government what to do. And Epstein says, basically, I learned about the Vatican Bank then and that this inner working is the most secretive bank, along with like the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, that's perfect for laundering money and doing these operations. Now, why would that be surprising? I mean, John Paul II established this close relationship with not just the Mossad and the nation state of Israel, but presumably it appears now also Epstein himself. So again, it's all there in books that nobody reads. People don't read anymore, so they don't know what Gordon Thomas wrote back in 1999 about this relationship. We have the Diddy case, right? Diddy is apparently a smaller, lower level type of thing, but the same pattern as the type of thing apparently that with Diddy that we know Epstein was doing. We have the Peter Nygaard situation, right? Nygaard is involved in obtaining stem cells, paying for stem cells, wanting to get the blood of the youth and, you know, sort of ambrosia, like Alex talked about. That seems to be what Nygaard is into, and presumably also with Zora Ranch. Now it appears that's what Epstein was up to as well. He wanted to have this other operation with baby farming. John of God, exact same thing with John of God that appears Epstein wants to do with Zora Ranch. We have the Dutroux case, right? The Dutroux affair, all the way up to the highest levels of the Belgian elite, including prelates of the Catholic Church, including government officials involved and implicated in graping women in castles, putting them in cages, all the worst stuff that you can imagine. And who gets in trouble? The one that's the low-level procurer. So who takes the fall? Well, Saville, Epstein, Dutroux, these are the people that take the fall. And on and on and on, the Presidio case with Michael Aquino, right? All of these infamous cases bear the same patterns and structures of organized crime level stuff. It's just that Epstein is at an international Blofeld Bond villain level operation. Get my book, Esoteric Hollywood, at jasonallison.com in the shop.
I see through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, the OzAlexJonesStore.com, no matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones Network that's been built. So key, said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramethylene Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off
on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us, on the Shilajit complex, the Irish sea moss, atomic defense, and more. But it's only run until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert. Only a few days left. Thank you so much.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.